Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, truly, as the song says, there's only one way. And Lord, that seed in there screams out. Lord, when we recognize your presence. Lord, when you call our name, Lord. And this last day, when you've taken the book. And Lord, you've revealed those seals, Lord. You've called the names of the elect. And you've come to claim your bride. Lord, to become one with her. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just, our hearts worshiping you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We're giving you thanks and praise and glory and honor. And Lord, we ask you to just go in the furtherance of this service now, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Let the sweetness of the Spirit just continue. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see each one this morning. And we wasn't expecting Brother Richard and Sister Edith, but we're so happy to see them. And I was sitting back there, and I could hear Sister Edith singing, and then amen. And I always like, you know, we have our own way. But Sister Edith is not a wallflower. If she's there, she's going to be worshiping, and you're gonna hear her worshiping. And so I like that. And we appreciate the songs, and we appreciate the desire to worship him in spirit and in truth. And, you know, God knows all things. And so I think Brother Michael mentioned prayer for Amanda. I want you to also remember my mom. She's been struggling for some time, and she's actually had problems breathing for years now. And it comes and goes. She does good for a while, and then she comes really close to passing. And so I just like for the believers to remember her. And the Lord's been so good to her and to all the children, to our families, our loved ones. And, you know, our main desire is that they receive this revelation. But at the same time, we thank him every day. As Brother Michael was saying, if we would just started writing down the blessings, we wouldn't have no time to write anything about needs and wants and desires and all of that. And sometimes I find myself praying, and I just keep saying, Lord, bless them. Lord, do this, do this, do this. And I realize what a mistake I'm making. I need to be saying, thank you, Lord. I'm looking at them and everything that he's done for them and how he's blessed them and protected them and so much, just so much that he's did for them. And, you know, we're desiring that greatest thing, but he's been so good, and we thank him and praise him for that. And so we just want to remember each one. Now we want to remember Brother Goomba this morning. If you look at him, he looks like I don't know how he's keeping his eyes, how he's awake. I know he worked about 16 hours yesterday, and then I think Sister Emily said he slept about an hour, and then he got up, he preached at 4 a.m. this morning for the Sunday service in Kenya. And so the brother really needs some sleep, and so we want to remember him. And he's been really faithful to the ministry and to the preaching of the word, and so it's a real blessing, especially for the ones there. When he gets on like that, he's preaching in his language, and that's a real benefit to them. And since that's their first language, it's like us learning another language, and then you try to teach us the message in that language. You can imagine the difference if you can learn it in your native language versus in a second language. And so, although they are very good in many languages, but at the same time, when you hear it in your native tongue, it makes a difference. And so I really appreciate Brother Goomba and his desire. And I also want to say I appreciate Brother Michael for the things that he's been doing. You see little things popping up around here, and he's been working on the mics, and it's always a process. There's different challenges. This type of mic is really nice because it's got a very good sound quality, and that's the reason that he got it. And then us preachers kept having a hard time standing here. And so as soon as we walked past the direction of it, then it would go off. And so then he got this one for us so that we could walk around. But this one takes a lot of effort back there, tuning it in just right. Otherwise, it gets grainy and different things start happening. And so he's working on that, and we really appreciate it. And the things that he's doing, he put these envelopes out and just different things. And he's been doing it on his own. And so we appreciate that. So now I want to get right in this morning, because I got a lot, and sometimes it's a walk. It's a walk of faith, and it's a learning constantly. And it's totally different than the mission field when you're out there. It's just a different approach, a different everything. And so when you're coming like this, and so last night and early this morning, I was thinking this was going to be my last message on this subject, because I've had things that I've been really wanting to get into for some time now. And then something just hit me. Something just hit me this morning, just a few hours ago. And so now I already know that Wednesday and next Sunday are going to continue on this. And so I'm going to kind of lay a little bit of a foundation this morning. A lot of the quotes, it's as Brother Michael was talking about, repeating. Some of these quotes are saying the same thing. But even when they say the same thing, they're saying something else. There'll be another detail. And sometimes just the detail makes all the difference in what you're looking at and in your study. Sometimes you go to searching on something, and when Brother Chris was here, the last couple of years we've talked a lot about Adam and those things, and that's been a really big thing for Brother Chris. And so for the last 10 years, I guess, it has been. And so it certainly made us other ministers take a look at the same thing. Even though maybe we had different things on our heart we were preaching on, it's made us look. And so when you start digging in and you start searching a subject like that, you know, we might say one thing over here about it, and then you come over here another place, he says something similar, but then he says add something totally different. And then you just keep on, and you're building a picture. You're building a picture of the revelation as it was coming, because that's what it is. It's the revelation that was coming through the prophet. And he started back there in the beginning of his ministry, and he was telling as much as God had shown him. And then as he was coming, he was doing the best he could, and then revelation started coming and coming. And there was some revelation that was limited, because it was for the seven church ages. It had not yet opened up and bloomed into the full reality that it was going to open up into. And that's how the seven church ages were. And even those messengers were the same way. They had revelation. And we talked, Brother Branham mentioned hundreds and hundreds of that Luther had justification. But as we said the other day, there's no justification, no message or revelation of justification ever come close to what came in this day in the message Invisible Union. And when that revelation came, you watch, although it was at the end of his ministry, that was November, and then he just was with us until the end of December, or sometime in December there. So it was... he continued to say, to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Because it was new, it was fresh, and it was real. And it was something that had to be let out before he went off of the scene. And so, let me just stop talking and get right into it. This Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, we've read the chapter a while back. And so I've been holding these two verses again because I wanted to drop them, and I had taken them out, and then this morning, this first quote, it fit right with the scripture, and so I went back and I got it, and I want you to watch it. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now he's putting it on you. You work it out. You work out your salvation. You have something to do in this thing, right? That's what he's saying. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now there he's telling you, you got something to do, and now he's telling you, you ain't got nothing to do. That it's every bit him, that it's God that's working in you, your very will, your very desire to want any of this is God's good pleasure. He's the one doing it. So, but he's telling them for you to step forward. You, just like the scripture says, humble yourself. You do something. You see it in the word, you do it. See? But it's him. It's him that's doing it. It's him that's motivating it. It's him that's moving in you to want to see this thing living and alive in you. That's what it is. See? Both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now in the message, sirs, we would see Jesus. we're going to read a little bit in this message before we get into identification. But that's, we're talking about being identified. And the thoughts of God being identified. And I just put for a subject identified in the scripture. And that title is going to evolve over the next couple of services. Paragraph 11. And now, healing is of God alone. God alone has purchased for us our healing. So I want to ask you the question. Where does healing come from? Who is in complete control of our healing? God. Now read the next sentence. Just what he did right there in the scripture. Now watch the prophet do the same thing in the quote. Now it's up to us to do everything that we can in our life and in every way that God has given us for our healing. See there? What is it? It's the word. It's the spirit motivating you. It's the will of God. It's God's good pleasure in you, motivating you. That's why Brother Branham said, he said, you watch some people, he said, they're trying so hard to get healed. And he said, they just can't do it. They can't get it. They can't receive it. Nothing. And he said, other people, he said, it's just like, boom. They just get it. They just say, amen. And it's done. It's over. And they walk out. And he said, other people are just crying and begging and pleading and trying every way to get it. And he said they just can't grasp it. God's the one in control. But you got to put forth the effort. God wants you to put forth an effort. You want your children to put forth an effort. You want your children to be motivated to the thing that you're teaching them, that you're trying to instill in them. That's your desire. That's what you want. God has desire. God has something that he wants, a goal that he's trying to achieve. And he's wanting to achieve it in you. That's where it's at. And he's going to show us that in just a minute. See? But it's up to you. It's up to us to do everything that we can in our life and in every way that God has given us for our healing. But it's God that heals. If God calls you to go home tonight, there isn't enough medicine in the world that will keep you here. There is nothing going to keep you here. And if he determines that you're to stay on the earth, no matter how many physicians say that you're going tonight, you're not going. Praise God. So it's just all up to God. This is the way that I believe that we've looked at it for many, many, many years, that it's 100% God's in control of this thing. You ain't going to die one day early. You're not going to do any, you're not going before your time, and you're not going to stay one day over your time. God's in control of all of this. And we thank him for that. And we just want to surrender to him that his will be done in all things. Now he's continuing, same, just next paragraph. God is life, life eternal. In the beginning was God. If he wasn't God at that time, see, he wasn't God at that time. See, the English word God means object of worship. And there wasn't nothing but him.
He was the eternal, just the eternal one. There was no moon and no stars, no angel, no nothing. But in this being that we call God our Father was attributes. In this being that we call God the Father, the eternal one, that we call Elohim, the eternal spirit, he was a being. And Brother Branham said, he said, it is amazing at the theologians, at the preachers, at the teachers, at the people who count God as the wind, as just something out there floating around. That's why Brother Branham said that he can't be in all places at one time. He said, because he is a person, he is a being. And the only way that he is in all places at one time is because he knows all things. That allows him to be everywhere at one time. But God is a person. He's a being. He said it's not like the African word Amoya. Amoya is the wind, like the wind. And that's what a lot of people think God is. And that's why he's so far away from them, because he's just out there somewhere. God is here. God is a person. God is a being. A supernatural being. He is Elohim, the eternal spirit. And then God began to make a way that he could be identified, that we could identify him and know him and see him and have fellowship with him and worship him. All the things that he wanted, that he had in his mind, God was making a way for that. And that he had in there, it began to unfold. It began to condensate. It began to come forth little by little by little. And so he hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped. He's just now coming to the part that he's seen for this day. He's just getting to it. This is it. It's happening right now in the bride of Jesus Christ. It's happening. And it's exactly the word. From Genesis to Revelation, it's exactly this whole message that the prophet brought. It's coming to pass. It's living. It's a living word. It's not a dead word. It's not something. It's a living word. This being that we call God our Father was attributes. And in him was attributes to be Father. In him was attributes to be God. In him was attributes to be Son. In him was attributes to be Savior. In him was attribute to be healer. And all of these things that we see now is just displaying his attributes. That's what's taking place. It's just those attributes displaying themselves. That's what it was back there. That's what it was when the Logos came out of God. When it came out of God, Brother Branham said that was the first bodily form of God. God began to be identified. He was identifying himself. And that same pillar of fire that was there was going to identify him all the way down through. Every time God wanted to identify himself by the pillar of fire, they would know that this was God. And that's, Brother Branham said, that's the reason that Paul knew. He said that pillar of fire was there in the days of Moses. And he said that was God only. There was no impersonation. There was no nothing else. That was God. So when he seen the pillar of fire, he called it Lord, because there was no mistake. Now, this was not a Pharisee thing or a Sadducee thing or some other theologian. This was God Almighty. All of this time, he had been fighting the Pharisee battle. All of this time, he had been, we're the best, we're the strictest, we know the most, we're the greatest, all of that. But that stopped right there. When he seen the pillar of fire, he called it Lord. He knew who it was. He knew it because it was identified in the scripture. It had been identified all the way back there billions of years ago. It was identified and it came all the way down through. And now here it was in his presence. And here it is again today, identified in our day, identified with this message that we are living, a living part of. See? Now, verse 13. Now, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning and it has no ending. See? So if you have eternal life, You were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Now, there was a time, Brother Branham said, that you didn't know that you had eternal life. But this word eternal now, he's confirming again, and it's been confirmed over and over and over, and this is, just for the record, is 1964. So this eternal life he's talking about is the same as he talked about before the seals was opened, and it was established that it never had a beginning and it never had an ending. And so that was the difference of eternal and everlasting and forever. Brother Branham made it clear. He identified it and he made it clear that this eternal has no beginning and no ending. So now, if there's a people on the earth that have eternal life, they have no beginning and no ending. That's what this word means. Now, not this flesh, this is creation. This spirit that's on the inside, this is creation. This was created by God, just like Jesus Christ was created by God. That was the creation of God. But eternal life was living in that man, and eternal life is living in the bride. Now, that's the promise. That's the promise of the Bible. That's the promise of this message. That was God's intentions before the foundation of the world. So if you got it, you always had it. The only thing that's different is you didn't know it. You didn't know it. And then God revealed to you that you were a part of him. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. The thing that Adam came forth from was that Adam knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he had eternal life. And Brother Branham said that that's what he lost. He lost that conscious recognition of what he had. He didn't realize it no more. He lost that, all of that God had put in his hands now. The reality of it was slipping away. It had slipped away from him. And now everyone that was born from that day forward, they were struggling to know. They were struggling to understand. Who is God? What is God? Why am I here? What part do I play? You know, and it was, I don't know how many years, hundreds of years it was before those things were wrote. And who, I can't even remember now who wrote those Genesis and all of those books. But that came way, way later. That wasn't being written as it was done. That was written later. And so somebody had to see it to write it and put it down. So Adam lost it. Adam lost it. In this day, it's come back. It's come back again to realize that eternal life is living in a mortal flesh. Mortal flesh. Your form. See, let me back up. Just get that last sentence one more time. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Your form, your shape, and what you're in now is just a negative. And when you come up to around 20, 22 years old, you were a negative, and death develops the picture to the positive. That when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's right. Now this, just the display. This is just the display. What you're looking at is the display. It's identifying something. It's identifying something that's on the inside. And he's going to tell us, I mentioned this last week. The real you is inside. This is not it. This is the negative. See, now it shows what's being done. It's identifying. Like God becoming God when he created the angels. See, he created those angels and it identified him. Think about that. Think about that now in relation to the bride and Christ. He created those angels and it identified him as God. That's what it does. Every time he does something, it's identifying him. It's putting on display his attributes. It's putting on display what he had in his mind to bring to pass. His character. That was the word I was searching for. His character. Brother Brandon is going to use that word a lot. He becomes son when he... let me back up. See? Just the display. Now it shows what's being done. Like God becoming God when he created angels. He becomes son when he created Christ Jesus. Is that right? When he created Jesus Christ, he became a son. He becomes Savior. So also, when that Logos came out, that identified him, because Brother Branham said that Logos was the Son of God. So that Logos was identified as the Son, but that Logos identified him as Father. It identified him as Father. And so when it came down into Jesus Christ, the Father created that body of flesh. That was his Son become manifested in a body of flesh. He becomes Savior when Jesus died. Huh? He was identifying himself as a Savior. He becomes healer when he was wounded for our transgressions. And with his stripes, see, we are healed. All of those things, when he created this, he becomes. When he creates it, he becomes. And this, I just was reading this just a few minutes ago, and it just hit me. And a quote that Brother Branham said that we've looked at for many, many years. Brother Branham said, he is creating his bride now. He's creating his bride now to identify him as husband, to identify him as Lord, to identify him as all in all. That's what he's doing. He's identifying himself in every creation, in every part of his creation. And this creation, it's manifesting him. That's what every part of this has done. It was just manifesting him. And this bride, this creation that's coming forth now, these attributes now that are on display, that are being manifested, it's him. It's him again now in the bride form. That goes right through the message. It goes right with everything Brother Branham said. It's him bringing to pass his attributes of what he wanted to be in that bride. Praise be to God. See, he's creating now, this bride now. It's the manifestation. See, verse 16, all these things are attributes of God. Just so that in the end, the Bible said, Jesus said, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. I in you, and you in me. See, it's God becoming tangible. That's continuing. That's just coming from Wednesday. We read several places where he used this scripture. And then every time, he has some other things to go with it, to identify, to build up the picture, and then put this scripture in there to identify that this revelation, that's what he's talking about here. It's a revelation. Yeah, we talked about in that day, we talked about the time. But now he said, you will know. You will know. He is identifying that this is a revelation that the bride is going to have in the last days. This is something that's going to become real to her. It's something that he's going to make known. And she's going to see clearly. And I'll be honest with you, I struggled with Brother Branham saying that when the seals were opened, now we understand the Godhead. And I didn't see it. I thought, no, we've always understood the Godhead. That's just the simplest of simple. And one day I realized when Brother Holmes was bringing those messages on the Father and the Son, I realized that most of the message people had all of these years been oneness. And didn't even know it. We had been oneness in our understanding. We just believed he was one like our finger. And Brother Branham said, he's not one like your finger. No. No, the eternal spirit spoke and the word came out. And it was now the word and the spirit that began to create. That was the Father and the Son. And so you can say, well, that just complicates it. No, it might complicate it for the carnal mind, but it doesn't complicate it for the spiritual mind, because it's just a simple revelation. The Word can do nothing until the Spirit comes and quickens it and makes it alive. And when it makes it alive, it begins to live out in every age. And it's living out Him, what He is, what He promised, what He wanted to be. And so it all comes back to this revelation. Adam lost it. He lost that revelation. He lost that realization. And now it's been building and building and building. And they've been seeing God, little pieces of God, all through the ages, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. They've been catching glimpses of God. Just like when Moses wanted to see him, he said, I want to see you. And God said, I'll show you. And he passed by, but all he seen was the back. All he seen was the little back. Now, what have we seen? What have we seen today? Now he spoke once again, lip to ear. Now the prophet seen him. He said the closest picture he ever seen was Hoffman's head of Christ. He said that looked almost perfect, just like him when he seen him standing there. Rather, he's been unveiled today. The veil has been taken off. Now that thing that was slowly unveiling, slowly showing, now it's been tore back now. Now the bride is seeing him in his fullness of all his glory and all of his attributes and all that he wanted to be. She's seeing that he's every bit of it, every bit of it. Praise be to his name. It's God becoming tangible. Your own wife, you and your husband, is just a shadow. A negative of God and his wife, the church. How about that? You're just a shadow. You two right here, you're just a shadow of what God, Christ and the bride is. That's just a shadow of it. See, it's just God's attribute being displayed in shadows and types, like the Old Testament was to the New. See, then in the end, it all winds up God tangible. Oh, praise be to God. What happened when Christ came on the scene? He was God tangible. What happens today when he's in his bride? He's tangible. He's tangible again. God in Christ, tangible, made flesh, dwelt among us. And in the great millennium to come, God in the form of Christ sits upon the throne of David. And the church, his bride, husband and wife, together. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful time. Now, he's continuing. I want you to notice. So you go back later and read this. Notice almost as if he's changing, but he's not. He's continuing. He's continuing the thought that he's got. Now, watch where he goes now. He's going to ask a question. Now, we just went from the millennium here. We went from these attributes up here. Now he's going to ask a question. Paragraph 184. Now, is this Holy Spirit that we talk about, is that Jesus Christ? What a great question, huh? What a great question. Because that's there's millions of message people today. That is a question in their mind. They don't believe he's come because he's got, in order for him to come, he's got to come in the form that they're expecting him to come in. They want to see some fleshly something. And then they're going to believe he's here. Brother Branham said, that's not even you. He said, that's not even you. He said, we've never seen one another. He said, this just identifies what's on the inside. But what if the flesh wasn't here and just the spirit was? What if it was? Could we identify? Can we identify Jesus Christ without that flesh? We can, because we know his character. We know his character. We know he's still manifesting in flesh. We know that's what he's doing. But we know his spirit. We know his character. And we know the spirit of Satan. We know that spirit, and we know that character. And so when we see it on display, we recognize it, and we know what it is. Now, is this Holy Spirit that we talk about, is that Jesus Christ? Sure it is. See, he is God, known as God, the Holy Ghost. See, it ain't another God. It's the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, this is really striking to me that he puts this in here. Is this God? It is God. And this also, it strikes me because today people got this idea that he hasn't come. Okay? They're waiting for him to come. The thing is, he's always been here. He's always been here. Always. Coming, the way people look at coming is like he wasn't here. No, he was here. What coming is, when he comes, he has come to display the attribute of the day. He's come to display his attribute. When he came 2,000 years ago, he came to display his attribute of Jesus Christ. That was the manifestation. That was the form that he come in. And when he come in this day, he had come in the form of flesh, of that prophet. And now it come into that, that was part of the bride, and that manifestation blooms into the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the attribute. That's his coming today. But he was here. He was here through the church ages. The Spirit was poured out. That's what confuses them. That confuses them. The Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And then we say, the token has come, the Spirit is here again. Well, what was it for the seven church ages? Was there no God? There was a God. There was a God. He was being revealed in a portion of his word. He was being revealed in a portion of his word. Not in the portion that it is today. Not even the portion that it was back there, because they were losing that they had. They had many revelations. They had a revelation of water baptism. They had a revelation of the Godhead. They had a revelation of many things, and they began to lose it and lose it and lose it. But they still had God, because when they, right there in the darkest of the dark ages, and they were standing death before them, and they were given the option to renounce Christ or give your life. This Brother Banner said the Spirit was upon them. The Spirit of the age. The Spirit of the age was upon them. That was the Spirit of Christ. Because Brother Banner said the Holy Ghost is the prophet of every day. The Holy Ghost is the light in every age. And it's Christ was in them, made them walk right up and freely give their life. It was just not, there wasn't no thinking about it, no hesitation. It was boom. I'll go. I'll die. They were ready to give their life. It was the Spirit of God. God was there. He was there. But yet, the Bible spoke of a coming, that he was coming. It didn't mean he wasn't there. It meant that he was coming in another manifestation. He was coming in another attribute that had to be displayed. And it was the greater. It was a greater manifestation. It was a greater portion. It was a greater everything than what they had or ever had before. And now there he was. There he come, right? There the seals opened up. And what happened? The word opens up. The fullness of God begins to be revealed. The manifestation of the whole thing in the attribute that God saw for this day. But he was revealing attributes in every day. He was revealing his attributes in Adam. He was revealing in those prophets all the way through. He was coming there, coming, coming, coming. It was the Spirit of God. And he was the same. Let me just keep going here. He's going to give us a scripture in just a minute. He's going to give us a New Testament scripture where it was manifested in the Old Testament. It's the same God. He never stops being God. When that Logos came out of God, that was God. And that was the eternal life came out now and was manifested in a pillar of fire. And that eternal life began to come forth, and it came down through Adam to Eden, came down through the Old Testament, came through the New Testament, came down into this day, and it never stopped. God was revealing himself. God was manifesting himself. God was bringing forth the promise of every single age, every time. It was him. It was the same God, not another. It wasn't a different God. It wasn't the second or third or any of that. See? Now, this Holy Spirit we talk about, is that Jesus Christ? Sure it is. See? He is God, known as God, the Holy Ghost. And it's not another God. It's the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not three gods. It's three attributes of the same God. God revealing himself in another attribute. Another attribute. When it was the Father, that was God, the eternal God. When it was in the Son, that was the eternal God. When it was in the Holy Ghost, that was the eternal God. Just another attribute to display the character of Jesus Christ, to display Elohim, to bring to manifestation, to bring his thoughts into word form and be expressed. It's three attributes of the same God. See? Just the same God. See, you see, in otherwise, three offices, like, you know, when he served as Father and then as Son, see, it's God condescending, coming from one who cannot be touched, even to touch the mountain had to die till he could handle him in flesh. That's right. See, one day, I'm talking to my wife, husband. Then one of my children will come by. They'll want to need something, talk about something. I change. I'm talking as Father. I'm talking as husband. I'm talking as Father. As Father, that different attribute. Different attribute is on display. Talking. Going right there. That's what he was doing. It was him all the time, just in a different attribute, just different display of his attributes, his thought of what he wanted to display, what he wanted to be, what he wanted to be identified as. Praise God. That's the reason you obey this message, because it identifies you. It identifies you with this message. That's the thing that's living in you. That's the reason you read it and you want to obey it. You want this thing to be you. This is a mirror that you look in and you see yourself. And so everywhere you go, you're not thinking about, I hope I fit in. I hope I look like these women do. I hope I this and that. No, you don't. You're thinking about him. You're thinking about him. They're all got the fashions of the world. They're all dressing like the world. They're all seeing how close to the edge, the cliff they can get. Not you. You're thinking, I hope I'm modest enough. I hope I'm right where he wants me to be. I'm not trying to fit into this crowd. I just want to be what he wants me to be. That's the difference. It's that attribute. It's that attribute, it's in you, and it's moving. The Spirit is quickening that attribute in you, and you are putting it on display. It's living its life out of you. It's the character of Jesus Christ. See? And now he's in you. He sanctified you with his blood, that he might live in you. And at that day, you'll know. I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. That's a lot of revelation, isn't it? See, it's God above us, God with us. Here it is, God in us. That's the attribute for today. That's the promise. That's today, right there. That's it. At that day, you'll know. It's now not time for me to be above you. Not time for me to be with you. Now it's time for me to be in you. Now the attribute of God living in the bride. It's time now. That's where I'm at. Praise God. And I started saying a while ago, I don't know. I was talking about when those seals opened, and Brother Branham talking about the Godhead. It became greater. It became greater. And that was the same thing. It was another sign, another thing that he said. He began to say, as soon as the seals was opened, he said, He said, you let them come against me now on the serpent seed. He said, I got it. What was to get? We had it. I kept saying, we've had it all this time. What was to get? There was more. There was more. There was more. And he said, I put it in that first church age. He even told you where he hid it at. You go read it. And if you don't see it, read it again. Because there's something there that you didn't know before the seals was open. There's something there. He said, you let them come now. They could have come before the seals and he'd tie them in a knot. But now he's got so much confidence, he's bragging on. He said, let them come. Let them come. I got it. I got it right there. And I'm putting it in that first church age. It's right in there, that Ephesian church age. And that he takes a whole big place there and covers the serpent seed. Brother, this whole thing, from the simplest of revelation, God had it hid from the foundation of the world. No matter how much of it he let out up until that time, the fullness of it, of the simplest revelation, was not known until those seals opened up. And when those seals opened up, then we understood the Godhead. Then we understood the serpent seed. Then we began to understand these great mysteries that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. Not for 2,000 years, not for 6,000. The foundation of the world is how long these things had not been known, because God hid it and saved it for us. He saved it for this bride, for his wife in this day, to enjoy this great revelation, this stimulation of wine that we have. Hallelujah. 189. But his spirit is here. See? And if we can just tear down our own minds and drift into his. Oh, if we can just do that. And that's what we're working on. Every day we're working on it. We're working on it. We're getting more out of our mind and more into his mind. See? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. He is the Word. And the Bible said, the Word of God, which how many knows that Jesus was the Word? See? And in the Bible, Hebrews 4, and the Bible said, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. See? Now that's what was in Solomon. Huh? There it is right there, isn't it? He's taken us to Hebrews 4:12, that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then he's going to go back in the Old Testament to a king who had this gift, this discernment. So wherever this is at, wherever this true gift, this true discernment of the word of God, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, it's God. If it was back there in Solomon, it's God. If it was in William Branham, it's God. If it's in you, it's God. I don't matter what age that it was in, it's God. When it was back there in Abraham's day at the tent door and Sarah was behind him and she didn't laugh out loud, she laughed in her heart. She just, inside her heart, she made a little whimper. And he said, why did she laugh? That was Hebrews 4. That was Hebrews 4, way back there in Abraham. Of the same God. The same God. It was manifesting the same thing all the way through. But there were some things that couldn't be manifested back there. That was only going to be manifested in this last day. That's right. And in every age, in every day, there were things in Luther's day. Couldn't be. Only that day. Only that day could it be revealed. In Wesley's day, only could that day. Those men, sometimes we look at it kind of lightly. Those men struggled. Those men, they gave their life for this thing. They traveled. You know, now we think that we've done something. We get on a plane. We travel for 24 hours, and we're tired, and it takes us a week to recover, get back on a different time. They had to travel for sometime a year or two. It was months and months. They could be going out across the ocean and the wind stopped blowing, and they could sit there for a month out in the middle of the ocean because there's no wind. And they're just waiting. That's what travel was like in those days. And those men, when they left their family, they didn't have bank accounts to leave them money today, or a credit card to leave with them and take care of. No, they were struggling. They were surviving. And he was there. Once he got there, he ran out of the money that he had. He was at the mercy of God, the people, to help him. They cried and they pleaded, they begged, they fasted, they labored. Like harder. It's too, we struggle today. It is hard. It's hard. I look at Brother Goomba back there and thinking, he just looks like he's going to fall over any minute. He's so tired. He's given everything that he can. Everything that he can. And still, we got it easy today. Still, we got it easy. What they went through back there. The price they paid back there. And I look at what that prophet went through. I can't imagine. He went and worked every day. And then he'd come home and he'd eat and he'd go out on the street, go to the hospitals, come home at 3 or 4 in the morning and get 1 or 2 hours sleep. That's what Brother Goomba's done last night. Get an hour or two and get up. Times somebody had to help him get dressed. He was so tired. Somebody had to help him. Oh, Lord. Now, that's what was in Solomon, the word, God. Reason he could discern their thoughts, because God was there. That was in Jesus. Oh, the same one. It was the same one in Jesus that was in Solomon. That's what's here now. Same thing. See? Huh. Brother, sister, he's here. And he's always been here. The only difference is he's coming. Every time he comes, he's coming in another manifestation of his attribute. That's it. He doesn't stop coming. When he came 2,000 years ago, he was still coming. He came right on into Irenaeus and Columba and Luther and Wesley. He was coming every time, coming in the attribute, in the manifestation, in the promise, in the prophecy for the day. Not the carnal idea. That's the carnal idea. That you go talk to a nominal preacher, not nominal, you talk to message people. They are literally waiting for God to come and do something. And we have a whole message of God doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. Promises and prophecy and scripture and God bringing his attributes to manifestation over and over and over and over again, right in our day, right in our midst. And those attributes that was spoken by that prophet 60 years ago are still happening, still coming to pass, still exactly, exactly right, perfectly to the scripture. Shalom, paragraph 5. Now, as when we die, like in the physical body, as we are now, we are separated from one another. But now it's really this body is the only thing that identifies us to each other, because we're bound in 5 senses: see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And as long as we can see or feel one another, why, we have evidence. Huh? What is evidence? It's identification. It's identification of that person. It's identification of God. We have evidence that we're here. See? And if you're blind and you can't see, then you can feel one another, see? Or hear one another. And the earthly senses declares one another. But really, frankly, we have never seen each other. Did you know that? We've never seen one another. Now, I had this 2 weeks ago and I didn't read it, but I spoke it and I just decided I'm going to go ahead and read it, because it was in the middle of these notes. You hear something speaking out of that body here that impersonates whatever's on the inside. It's impersonating what's on the inside. Is that right? It's impersonating. It's impersonating. This here flesh comes in subjection to the spirit that's on the inside. And that spirit that's on the inside is impersonating something else. It's impersonating that nature, that soul. And so that soul is the control tower. And that soul has put a sinless nature on this spirit. And now this spirit now is thinking with the mind of Christ because of that soul. And now that spirit now is making this flesh come in subjection to it. And now it is displaying Jesus Christ in this fleshly body. Now, like Brother Branham said, you don't smoke no big cigar no more. You don't drink and carry on and run around. No. You don't cut your hair no more. You don't wear them pants no more. No, you're impersonating something that's on the inside. And now it's showing up. The outside's identifying what's on the inside. And it's, you know that's the truth. You just get around unbelievers and go down, trying to think where we were the other day. Oh, last Sunday, we rode up to Moses Cone to walk the trail. And we're walking, and everybody's in their shorts and their, you know, everything. And so they just can't help it. You know, they just can't help it. They see us coming and they're watching and looking at her. And, you know, for a man, he can just dress, you know, he's just fits in anywhere he goes, if he wants to. And, I mean, it's hard to not. But for the sister, she's identified immediately and they're looking from afar. They're looking at afar. And there's one or two things are going to happen. When they're coming by, they're kind of nervous and they're up and down. Or another thing, and these ones, they just can't take it. They're like, they won't even look at you. They done looked at you from afar, and they're not going to come. They're not going to make eye contact. They're not going to look at you. They can't take it. There's something, I believe they're guilty way down here. I believe they know. Brother Branham said when Nicodemus come, he said, they knew. He said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. You couldn't do what you're doing. Did he become a believer? No, he didn't. They know there's something down in there, and there's something standing in front of them that's testifying, identifying to them. You, I don't care where you go, brother, sister, especially you sisters. When you are dressed godly and modestly, everywhere you go, you are identifying Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is living in people today who have, like Moses, forsook the riches of Egypt, forsook that kingdom. You have forsook to look like the world. You have forsook to fit into society, to fit in with all these other women out here. Even among the message people, you forsook that. You won't go the way they go. Or they might come to church and, man, their dress is dragging the floor, and they might have at least sleeves down to their arms, and they might have it ruffled up here and everything. And then as soon as they go home or as soon as they leave, then you start seeing what happens then. No. It's the same everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you look the same. Yes. It's in here. You can't help it. You're doing everything that you can because his will and his way. Huh? Is that what he said about salvation? That's what he said about healing? You're doing everything you can because he's in there doing it. He's in there moving you. He's in there inspiring you. And sometimes we're just fretting and wondering, Lord, am I doing it right? What am I doing? How can I do it? And then you'll get down the road and you look back and say, man, look what he did. Look what he did for me. Look at how beautiful that was. I just praised God. And then we'll face another challenge and it's just that flesh. It's that flesh. But that thing on the inside's not moved. That thing on the inside knows we're going forward. And deep in our heart, we know he's in control. See, but really, frankly, we've never seen anything. See, there's something speaking out of the body, impersonate whatever on the inside. So then when we talk to each other, we're really not talking to the body. It's the spirit inside, but the body is the thing that identifies the spirit that's on the inside. See? And therefore, when we speak to each other, we can quickly understand right away whether we're Christians or not, because there's a fellowship in the spirit that we talk from. See, you see that it vibrates to one another, that whether we are Christians or not, therefore we have never seen each other. Now, I think this thing is getting harder. This is in 1964. And Brother Branham said, immediately we feel that vibration. Immediately we can tell that they're a Christian. This thing's getting harder and harder because it's getting more deceiving and more deceiving. And because just because they're dressed right doesn't mean that life is in there. Just because they come to church doesn't mean the life is in there. That's not it at all. It's got to be the life living in here. And when it's in there, then there's going to be something vibrating. Then there's going to be something that is identified with the character of Jesus Christ. That's what it'll do. And it'll do it every time. It's not a, it's not certain days of the week. It's not a Sunday religion, Wednesday religion, not those things. Therefore, we have never seen each other. See, Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. See, in other words, God was identified. Brother, where is he today? Where is he identified today? He's identified in the bride. He's identified today in the bride. She is the one. And he's going to say it. The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So he was the expressed image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. So that the person of God was identified in that flesh, that veil of flesh. And the person of God is being identified in the flesh of the bride today. And you know, I'm not reading those quotes, but you know it's there. You know, you read it. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, that's argument, great is the mystery of God, godliness. For God was manifested or made known in the flesh. And you know, he lists a number of things. That's why I like when you're studying these things to go read. You can just hear he's saying, without controversy, that's argument, great is the mystery of godliness. But in the scripture, it talks about different things. He said he was seen of angels. He was this. And so I had an interest in that. He was seen of angels. And he was. He was seen of angels. He was seen of angels there. It was angels that brought the news of his birth. It was angels that brought them there. The angels got a glimpse. The angels seen this thing. See, the angels got to look in and see it. And he revealed himself to those earthly angels. For God was manifested or made known in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? God. And we could never understand God as he moved through a pillar of fire and so forth, as he did. But we understood him when he became one of us. Praise be to God. See, when he became man, then he could talk to us, and we could feel him, and we could handle him, and touch him, and everything. See, now it's coming to us as flesh, as the what we were born in the world as unbelievers. We were born. We come to the world speaking lies. Now, this thing that God did, God came down and become flesh so that we could know him and understand him. And so now that we've seen that, we've seen that God in flesh, we've read all about him, we've seen it manifested in our day in flesh again. We've seen that God manifested in flesh. We read about it, what it was in those prophets. We read about it in that Moses was God to the people. We read about Adam was the God of the earth. And what's that done for us? It's now made a people that was born in unbelief, that couldn't fathom any of those things, now to realize that they are literally a part of God, that they that God has revealed in this day that he was in the Father and the Father was in him and him in you and you in him. He's revealed that in this day to make it real. The thing that he came down in flesh to do was to show that God could become flesh and reveal himself so that we could understand him. He said he was too mysterious. He was too great. He was too big. But when he became flesh, then we could narrow it down right there, and we could see all the characteristics of God. And we could begin to get an idea now of this great mysterious God. Now, just what he was like, what his nature was, who he was, and how he felt and how he operated and his attributes of what he was. And then through that price that was paid there was so that he could get to us. And now we could experience firsthand that very thing living in his wife. Praise be to God. See, but we understood him when he become one of us. See, when he become man, when he could talk to us and we could feel him and handle him and touch him and everything. Praise be to God. Oh, those disciples, you just read the stories. You read them. They were struggling. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do this? Lord, if you would do this, then we would understand. If you would show us the Father, then we'll understand. What was he doing? He was bringing them word upon word upon word upon word. He kept telling them, yeah, when you see me, you see the Father. He was bringing them. And he told, and he made the promise that in that day, you will know. The fullness of it, the fullness of it's coming. They knew, they got the revelation, but the fullness of it was pointing to this day. And we got it. Praise be to God, we got it. God is in man. He's identifying himself today in his church. In the born-again Christian, see, God identifies himself that he remains God. And the outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. Huh? Identification. That's identification. He's got flesh. The flesh identifies what's on the inside. And he's come now to confirm that scripture that he's going to be in us. And when he comes in us, it's going to be identified the character of Jesus Christ, the character of the Father. That eternal spirit now is once again going to be manifest in flesh to make him known in this last days. See? The outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. Praise God. That's the only way that they'll know God is when we're written epistles. Epistles of the scripture. See, we are read of all men. And the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. Praise be to God. You know that this, sometimes you think we don't feel worthy. We don't feel like we're doing anything or living such a great life. But there comes a time on your job. There comes a time in your neighborhood. There comes a time somewhere. For every one of you, there comes a time when people will say, I know you're different. I know you're different. I look at the way you dress. I look at this. I see the things you do. You're on the job. I know Duke Power, these different places, these brothers. They're there too many years. People know there's something different about you. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they can't put their finger on it, but they know that there's something between you and God. They know that something is there. And for the men, the women, everyone together, they know there's something different about you. And somewhere, they testify. They testify. Oh, let's see where we at. Down the bottom. And when I'm born, I think I left off just a little bit. A man is identified by the works that he does. So our works should be good. See, always good. Because we're representing our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm born of the Spirit of God, I'm a part of God. That's all. I'm identified with him. See, that he is my Father. Eternal life then is in you. He's saying here that when you're born of the Spirit of God, I am a part of God. There's something about you, Brother Branham said, there is an eternal quality to the elect. There's something there that is him. And it is him that is being manifested. It is him that's getting the glory. It is him that's getting the honor. It's him that's all of it. It's all him. And the more that revelation, realization comes to us, it doesn't make us boastful. It makes us smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, it's like I was reading the other day, I mentioned about the women that come to Brother Branham. They wanted to do something, you know, and they knew they couldn't come to the pulpit. They wanted to do something. And Brother Branham did the same thing, though, with even with people. If they men, if they weren't called to preach, then you look at what he told them to do. He gave them something that it didn't put them up here in the eyes of the people. That woman at the iron board, maybe nobody would ever know what she was doing. And Brother Branham said that many times, and I actually read this this morning, now that I think about it, that God can put it on you to be in prayer for somebody. And he said, you don't know what, why, how, what it's for. You don't know. You just have a burden and you just pray. And you are praying and God is answering that thing and you don't even know it. You don't even know why. You just have a burden. You have a burden. And so you go into prayer for somebody or something, whatever it is. And you might not even, be somebody. You just have a burden just to pray. And you just begin praying. That is the Spirit of God moving on you. And God is working somewhere. That's God's way. And that woman at the ironing board, Brother Branham said, every time you take another piece of cloth and you lay it there and begin to iron, while you're doing that piece of cloth, pray for somebody. That didn't put her on a pedestal. Maybe nobody even knows. It's just a humble little ministry between you and God. That's all we need. That's what Brother Branham said about his ministry. Hey, we're sitting here meeting in the house. We're not even in a building. Meeting in the house. Brother Branham said, all those men in these million-dollar buildings, he said, that's all fine for them. He said, but not for me. He said, not for me. He said, I want to be free. I want to be free where I can go anywhere he wants me to go. I don't want to be bound by that. He said, I'm not condemning them. Whatever God's blessed them with, that's fine. He said, but it's not for me. He said, I don't want that. He said, oh yeah. He said, they're on the telecast and said, they're broadcasting to the whole nation in one service, one preacher, talking to the whole nation. And he said, and they got to beg money and to pay for all of that. He said, I don't need that. God can tell him where to go. Where to preach. It might be to three people. He said, I can go where there's only three people. He said, oh, Roberts, he's got to have 10,000 people or he ain't going to get enough money to pay for the day. To pay for the day. Brother, his ministry compared to all of those guys was down here. But what was coming out of his mouth was eternal life to the bride of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we weren't looking out there. We weren't looking on the TV to find it. We weren't looking on the telecast. We weren't looking for the great evangelist. We were looking for the voice of God. And the voice of God came in humility. It came in simplicity. It came in even in poverty. It came in such a humble, humble way. When I'm born to the Spirit of God, I'm a part of God. That's all. I'm identified with him. See that he is my Father. See, God, our Father, is reflected in us when we're born and conformed here to his image. Amen. Identification. Then see, God came down and the character of God was Christ. Huh? He was the reflection. He was God made visible. Notice God made visible. Brother, sister, that's what you are. Every time he's saying this, I want you to put yourself in there. Because this coming today, this attribute, this promise, this prophecy is God in his bride. That's what it is. That's where he's identifying himself. And that's the character that this bride is putting on display, is the character of God. In the beginning was the Word. He wasn't even God then, no. God is an object of worship. Only thing he was the eternal. And in him was attributes, and those attributes were thoughts. That sounds like the same thing we just read over there in this other message. See, and those thoughts was expressed to words. And the Word was made manifest. And what is it? It's all God becoming tangible. See, and you are a part of God. That we don't want to miss that. And Jesus come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thoughts. And that's what he came to redeem. See? Them. See, as soon as it strikes them, they see it. What do they see? They see that they were in him and he was in them. Uh-huh. Because that life isn't there. But if the life isn't there, then what can they do? See, they don't see it. They'll never see it, see? The whole thing, as Jesus said, at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. The whole thing is God becoming material, like husband and wife becoming one, together, God and his church becoming one, see? Now, it's taken something to redeem this fallen woman, which was typified in Eve when she fell. Now, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, Adam knowed that he was doing wrong. See the difference there? He wasn't in the transgression because of being deceived. No, he knew what he was doing. Now, according to the scripture, when you know to do wrong, that's iniquity. Is that right? Oh, blessed is the man in whom he doesn't count iniquity to you. Blessed is the man. That's right. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is that person. Blessed are they. Why? Because they are a son or daughter of God. That's the reason why. David was a son of God, and David knew, as much as David loved God, as much as David was zealous of God, as much as David worshiped God and did all that he did, his whole life was centered around God, and yet he fell to a woman. He knew what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. I didn't know. He knew. And he knew it was wrong to kill her husband. He knew. But when that spirit gets on you, it can take you a long ways. But the love of God sent him a prophet to tell him, to give him a little parable and wake his eyes up. Now, it's taken something to redeem. Let's see, I already read that. See, I want to read this part again, though. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam knew that it was wrong. The woman was deceived. That was the difference. Adam intentionally walked out to save his wife. Now, that's what the prophet said. He said he walked out to save his wife. He wasn't willing to let her die, so he was willing to die with her, and that's what he did. But eternal is no beginning and no ending. So that death that they had was in this flesh. And the death that we have is in this flesh. That's where it's at. It's not in our eternal life. That's God. And it's no beginning and no ending. And when he comes to you, it's a coming. When he comes to you, He's coming to express his attribute of what he saw before the foundation of the world, that he was going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's why she was going to have to be in his character. She was going to, just as that Redeemer had to be of a sinless nature. Now, when this one with the sinless nature came and redeemed, and then he's going to come back now, and he is going to come and live in this woman, this bride, this wife. And when he does, she is going to have every attribute, every display, every quality of her, his character will be on display in her. And there was no sin in him, and there's no sin in her. He was perfection. She's perfection. She's all, everything he is, she is. She is. If he's a redeemer, he come. Now, a redeem is to pick up that which has fallen. That's another way to say it, isn't it? Usually he says bring back. This time he said it's to pick it up because somebody fell. Somebody fell from being able to recognize who they were and what they were here for. And so he's going to pick them up and bring them back to where they know why they're here, where they come from, and where they're going. To redeem back to a place where it was at the beginning. So none of it will be picked up but them that was in his thoughts at the beginning. He come to redeem. Not this cannon fodder that you see around professing to be Christians, but that he come to redeem, see? That was in God's thinking at the beginning. Now, this reflected his loving, noble character. And now God reflected in a man called Christ. He was only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven could do it, see? Was God. He was the sinless nature. He was the Word. Sinless nature of God. Did I get that right? He was the Word expressed, which the Word was the beginning, see? I like that. You know, that it just, the Word continually baffles the carnal mind. And this, I can remember then when this was a big deal. In the beginning was the Word. Well, if the Word has a beginning, then it couldn't be eternal because it began. And the word eternal means no beginning, no ending. That just sounds like a real intellectual argument. But the difference is, there's more to that revelation than just saying those words. There's more to that revelation than saying those words. Because we're not talking about a man's thoughts. We're talking about God's thoughts. And God can't have a new thought. Every thought that God ever had, he always had it. And he can't add to his thinking. He can't gain in knowledge because he already knows everything. And so the conclusion, Brother Branham said, is that God's thoughts are eternal and that God's thoughts are substance. They're not to like a contractor who's going to go out, or an architect going to go out and build something, and he gets the blueprints and he looks at it and then he goes and gets the materials and does this and this and this and this. No. His thoughts are already substance. Think about that. And not going to now take, that's the reason when he said, let there be, there was. He believed his own word. That's what the prophet said. He believed his own word. He didn't take something to make something. His thoughts were substance. Now, that's just a little bit much for these little minds. But, brother, that's the word, and that's the revelation. God's thoughts are eternal. So when that eternal thought now becomes to manifestation and becomes word, it's eternal. It's not one moment in time that it stopped and started again. It is eternal. I have a hard time with those things, because to me, that is theology when you come with that stuff. Eternity doesn't start and stop. Read, I got a quote too. I got it, and we're not going to read it. But in the absolute, Brother Branham said, you drop down in time. Said, but you were in eternity where you always was, because you were the thought of God. You are the thought of God made manifest in this day. That's eternal life. That's eternal life. This is creation. Inside is creation. Inside of that is eternal life. That's the sinless nature. That's the eternal God living in his people. That's what it is. It's a nature. It's a nature. And Brother Branham said, the soul is the nature of the spirit. That's what it is. You can't, you go any way you want to. From way back there in the 50s to the very last message he preached, the soul is the nature of the spirit. And the soul is where eternal life lies. The soul is what God is working on. That's what he is working on. That's the only thing that's going to matter, because that's him in there living and manifesting and bringing this spirit and this flesh in subjection to this word. That's what does it. Nothing else does it. It's that life. It's that eternal life working in you. And then when it comes in there, and that predestination, that will of God and desire of God all is working and pushing, then what do you do? You do everything that you possibly can to obey. Everything you possibly can. You read it and you start working. You start doing. You need healing. You do everything you can to believe for healing. But you know he's the one doing it. Salvation. You do everything you can to be saved. But you know he's the one who saved you. That's right. Live a holy life. You do everything that you can to live a holy life. But you know that it's him. You know it's him. You're just doing the best you can. But he's doing it. He's going to see it through. If you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. Praise God. I'm going to read it again. And if you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. He's seen you. He's seen your desire. Before there was even an atom or anything else, you are his thought made word and expressed. And in, see, expressed in what you are now. Amen. That's God in you. Reflecting Christ today. You know what I mean? Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, we're going to get one more here. I know my time is, oh my, I don't know what happens. I look down there and it's, you know, I have more than 30 minutes and then all of a sudden it's just gone. So he's been talking about these thoughts. So now this quote, I could leave it off, but I just couldn't because it's in the Church Ages book and we've read it several times over the last 2 years, I think. It's been read 3 or 4 times at least, I know. And maybe, I don't know, these other brothers and myself also. But I want to read it again because he's talking about the thoughts. And so I want to tie this in there while we're right here. So let's read. Church Ages book, page 150, paragraph 1. See how this works? God always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam, as his thoughts, was yet unexpressed. Now, in Psalms 139, 15 and 16, we'll give you an idea of this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book were all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That, as I said, was not written about Adam, but it gives you the idea and knowledge that the thought was there in his mind, and that thought was eternal. And had to be expressed. So when Adam was formed of the dust of the earth and his spiritual being created by God, then Adam become God's thought expressed. And those eternal thoughts were now manifested. Now, he just said that Adam was the eternal thought of God expressed. Is that what he said? That's what he said. Now, watch. Paragraph 2. Down through the centuries we could go, we find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist, and each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season, in its season, in its day, in its hour. They were the attribute of God made manifest in their age. What was Adam? Adam was the attribute of God, the eternal attribute of God made manifest in his day. That's what he was. And then continuing from there, then he fell from that position that he had of being the God of the earth and being all in complete supreme control of everything. He fell from there, from that eternal life in flesh. And then it goes on to these men now that are being born of a woman, which Adam was not. Adam was not born of a woman. He was a spoken word of God, spoken into creation. He wasn't a child. He was never a child. He didn't grow up as a child and become a man of knowledge and understanding. He was created perfect. And he was in perfect fellowship with God. Had perfect fellowship with God. And he talked to God lip to ear. They had conversation. They talked to one another just like that. They come down. God came down daily. He said the cool of the evening. And they talked, and they had fellowship, and they walked together. And then one day, man fell, and God still came. And the man hid himself. There's man's religion right there. That's man's religion right there. Across the world today, man's religion is hiding himself from God behind something that man has come up with. Adam came up with something to cover himself. And he knew it wasn't sufficient, so he hid. And man is still covering himself with something that's not sufficient, and they're still hiding. They can't stand in the presence of the light. And unless that seed's in there, they won't. They'll go away from it. Adam was the eternal thought of God. Jeremiah, Isaiah, every one of these prophets was the eternal thought of God expressed in their day. See? And then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. And that is what he is and forever will be. Now, Adam, even though he was a spoken seed word of God, there was a difference between him and Christ. Because we come like Adam, not by that spoken word, but he bypassed the theophany. And we bypass the theophany. And Jesus didn't bypass the theophany. He didn't bypass it. He was the Word. And so he went to the theophany first. Brother Branham said that Logos that came out of God, he said that was a theophany. That was a theophany. That was the Son of God. And he said we bypassed that. We came from the thought into the flesh. That was the difference. But notice now, Adam was an eternal thought of God. We are an eternal thought of God. In that order, that's exactly the same. Exactly the same. See? He was the complete thought expressed and became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. See? Now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. And that means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. And that gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that. You can't get away. from that. Praise be to God. We were right there, and then you know that you could just take a whole another message or messages on that one paragraph right there, because Brother Branham said you went with him to Calvary. You were in him and said you were poured out on Calvary. Said you resurrected with him. Every bit of it, you were right there. You were with him there. And then that seed came out. It couldn't come out back there because it was predestined for another day. It was predestined for this day. That's this bride. This bride was predestined for this day and this hour. Amen. Praise be to his name. So we're going to stop right there. And we didn't keep you too long. I don't know. It's a hard place. You don't want to be known for that guy who goes on and on and on. But you don't want to be known for that guy who only preaches 20 minutes either. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy. So when I first went to Kenya, I went to Brother Meshach's Nairobi church. And so he got me. They went through the song service and everything. And back in those days, and we're talking maybe 16, 17 years ago, they had the youth would come in the morning, the single people, all of them. They might come at like 8 in the morning and they would pray and then they would worship, have songs and stuff. And so they just came and worship and prayer. So then by 10 or 11, then the people were coming in, the families were coming in, the ministers were coming in, and they would the service would finally begin. The preacher would get up, and it'd been a week. They most of them couldn't come during the week because of distance and those things. So he would update everybody, and then they would, let them know everything, and then they would begin the song service, and they might sing for an hour. And so, and you think, well, that's too much. Well, you find I've gone places where they want to sing longer than they preach. And so when I get those places, I tell them, I said, the word's more important than your singing. I said, if you're going to sing an hour, then I should preach 2 hours. So because we got to do better than that. But anyways, Brother Meshach, when I got in the pulpit the first time, he said, Brother Don, and he's a man of authority. When Brother Meshach speaks, his voice, his tall, his demeanor, he stands up straight. It's like a general. He just speaks with authority. He's very loud, clear voice. His English is perfect. Brother Don, we expect at least 2 hours. Minimum. And so I'm like, okay. So this is the most important thing in our life. This is the most important thing in our life. And I know that you spend plenty of time in it at home, and we want to spend time in it here when we come together, because we believe that he meets with us and that he stirs our hearts when we get in the presence of one another. It does something. There's something special when you're alone with him and you're listening and praying. And there's something special also when you come together and you're in a group of believers that believe this message. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Michael if you'll come. Certainly like to sing a song before we go.
And so remember the request, and I'm sure there's many more. And I haven't done anything. We've been talking about a name, and it kind of keeps just slipping away from me, but I want you to just keep thinking about it and praying, and we're going to hear it. Somebody's going to speak it. And actually, there's been some good names already spoken, so we'll see on this show.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. I'm with him. Sometimes the flesh kind of acts up, and you're getting tired, and you're sitting there, but just get in the spirit and just stay there, and 2 hours will pass just like that. We come expectant. That's what the prophet said. We get what we expect, and I know I did this morning. So Let's sing I'm redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. I call to him. I shall resign. I am in the same time. I will be. Oh, glory, glory. Christ is mine. I've been changed. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. My life has been different. Oh, what a difference in heaven. All my life. Thank God I've been changed. Same much I've been changed. I've been reborn. My life has carried a friend. Oh, what a difference he made when the Lord has his way on my life. Thank God I've been saved or tried. Oh, I've been changed. My life has carried a friend. Oh, how to be a friend to me when the Lord has his way in my life. Thank God I've been changed. Amen. Brother Gumby, you want to come around and dismiss us with a word of prayer? I know you've had a long day, brother, but it's don't mean to put you on the spot there, but we appreciate you, brothers. Like we said, he worked all day yesterday and preached really early this morning, brother. We love you. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to tell you to sit down, but because I don't want to preach. I've really enjoyed the message, not only today. Every time, but don't start here. And the thing I like about the way he comes is the simplicity. Everybody, even somebody who is coming in the message can understand. Everybody who is here, who is half here, can still eat. You know, that's the thing that I really like about what I'm doing. And it's a gift. It's a gift. But I don't think I can get there. But I enjoyed it. I had a question for the Don, and that has really brought me into this. And this is very good. See, when you think that the prophet says, Adam, as a son of God, could not sin. Adam could not sin as a son of God. Then, how did he sin? How did he fall? That's the question. And I was telling the people last night that I have a message on that. And the way Brother Don, you come, it's there. What it is God, because God wanted it. God wanted to be a savior. God wanted to display that. How can he display it? That's the only way. And now you wonder, how can a son of God then fall? Because all things are possible with God. God is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. All things are possible with God. You think, how can a son of God fall? He says, a son of God cannot fall. A son of God cannot sin. A son of God is eternal. A son of God cannot all this. But God is God, and all things are possible. Whatever God wants to do. That's why the prophet says, if I come to a place where I have worked for God and God decides to take me to hell, that is where he's going to be happy. Let him do it. Because God is God, brother. He does whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
Don't try to say, because of this happened. Because not nothing. It's God controlling it. And God will achieve. God will never fail to achieve what he wants to achieve because he's God. Praise be God. Let's pray. And before we pray, let's remember Dawn's mother. I know her. She's my friend. And she's a nice mother. Let's remember her in prayer. Brother Michael, I think you are limping. God will also take care of that. We'll remember you, brother, in prayer. Sometimes people don't even say what they're going through, but God will take care of us. And I also like to say that when I was preaching last night, they gave me your greetings. I was preaching to about 2-3 churches like that. And everybody said, greet the people when you go to church. Greet the people when you go to church. There's a brother in Britain who's also listening in, and different people, different places. And this thing is good, Brother Don, when you preach there, because it goes to very, very many people, and they enjoy, people enjoy. And many people have, at least I heard from one person, and I heard from another one, that the spirit here, because they listen to us. When you preach here, Brother Don, you're not preaching just to us. You're preaching to very, very many people. And those people are giving testimonies that they like the spirit here. What happened? I don't know. But that's what they're asking. What happened? Because they see the singing, the kind of spirit here, and I say, it's the spirit of God. We love one another here. We are free. We are liberty. God has given that freedom. We are so happy. We love one another. We really mean it. When we say we love you, we mean it. We mean it, brother. We mean it, sister. When you say about we are praying for you. We don't just say it. We really pray for you. There's a brother in a Ray Talk. Brother, you've not gone there, and I really want you to go there. But this is only this one brother that left. He's in bed. He cannot do nothing. The wife is there. They cannot even do nothing because she's just there. We are trying to sort of search for some parts for him. But I told God, and I'm trusting that God has heard me. I don't want that brother to go, for now, at least. He's kind of paralyzed to one side, and he's just saying, and you talk to that brother, he's in this message. He doesn't talk nothing else except this message. We are praying for him. We are trying to do the best we can. And the church in Vika is trying the best they can. May God bless you. So let's remember him also. Let's remember that brother. We were talking this day today with Sister Shikodon, and they've been visiting the father, and I told them that's encouragement. Just go there. The father is head of the mind, he doesn't know where he is. But going there, those sisters are strong, and they're strong in the spirit. You just go there, and they're just strong. They want this. They don't want gossip and things. They don't want those. You just go there, talk this word, and they're feeding. And you see they're feeding, and that's what we want. And one of the things that we talked, brothers and sisters, is, and I know I'm taking a bit of your time and you're starting, let me finish this. We said, this is it. If I live, I live for Christ. If I go, I will go for Christ. Whether I'm here or I'm over there, is Christ. So death in the body does not bother us. I hope you understand that. Amen. The thing is, and I told them last night, I told them, listen, the prophet said, my mother has gone on to be with the Lord. She could have left a lot of money for us to fight for. He could have left a lot of blood, a lot of property for us to fight for. But that's not important. She has left one thing that's the greatest thing that a person can live here on earth. That, even when I'm gone, don't think I'm gone, I'm alive forevermore. I've just got to rest. Praise be to God. If you leave me that and you go, that's okay. If I go, just be okay. I'm going to rest. If I go and I'm not saved, we are talking to a girl. And she's right now listening. I think she's listening. Her name is Kaz. She was not able to come today, Brother Don, because she was called at work. And then she really persuaded them to let her go back to sleep. And she went back to sleep because she's not sleep for many days. But she is listening right now. And she's so good. She's sick. She's not here in the message. But since we met her, she stopped some few things. She wants to come and she'll be here with us on Tuesday, on Wednesday. Brother Joe, he wanted to come on Wednesday. They called him on the way and told him to go to Wicksboro to buy something. That's how he didn't come. Today, they wanted him there. We don't have workers. That's all the problem. But they didn't want to be here. So whatever happens, be in Christ. Where whatever goes or comes, be in this message. That's amazing. Let's pray. Father, we all times, Lord God, we remember your love. That you show your love by election. That you show your love by choosing people to believe you. You've come very well today, Lord God. The Lord, you chose us before the foundation of the world to be partakers of it. And you're displaying yourself in the bread. And you promised to do it. And you're doing it, Lord God, today as we need. Lord, we are so thankful for those great things, Lord. You are building us, Father. You are building your faith. You are making us better every day, Lord. You are giving us strength and ability, Lord God, to surrender, to become better prisoners to you every day, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the way you talk. Thank you for your ministration, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for everything. Those people that our hearts goes for, like Don's mother, like that brother, like different ones, Razik, Lord, Michael's leg, Lord God, sister, me, the senior, Lord God, and think, Father, we place them to you, and we believe, Lord, that you hear us, and we believe, Lord, that you're going to grant it, because you're God. We commit our lives to you. We pray that you help us to surrender all that we are to you now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.